Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And not only was I blessed by the message and song, but you just wonder, where is all the time gone? Now, I was still seeing those as little bitty, and now they're up and singing specials in the church. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look at me to 2 Kings chapter 3, 2 Kings chapter 3, as we've been in our study now in the book of 2 Kings with the study of Elisha. We've just finished our study on Elijah, and then we went into a study on Elisha, which is basically 1 Kings for Elijah and 2 Kings for Elisha. And we've been seeing many things that God has given to us to learn from these events and these great prophets' lives, and to learn these biblical principles that are to be applied to our lives today. And I trust that it's been a help to you in doing that. We found our last event we studied here in 2 Kings chapter 3 was that the three kings got together and they was going to go against Moab. And of course, they didn't ask for God's blessings. They didn't have God's blessings. And one of the things that happened on their journey is they ran out of water, and every place that they looked for water had dried up, and they were getting ready to die because of no water, and their animals and their beasts were dying because of no water. And then they finally looked for a prophet, and they found Elisha, and they asked Elisha to inquire the Lord and to ask for his blessings upon them. And so we find that Elisha, after hearing them, he was pretty somewhat physically and emotionally upset because he understood the story, and they should have been asking and seeking God's will. And especially we find here that Jehoshaphat was the only one that God really would have blessed. The other two, he had aligned himself with a couple that God would not have blessed. And so Elijah, before he seeks the Lord, he does something that is very important. He asks for a minstrel. And we looked into that to find out a minstrel is one who plays musical instruments. We thought that to be a little bit strange until you really break it down. He asked for a minstrel to play so that he could have time enough to calm down and to focus on God's message instead of what he wanted to say. And how important that is. What a biblical truth there is. Too often we act based upon what we want, or we respond based upon our own personal response, our own personal revenge, or our own personal anger, or whatever it might be coming within us. And if we would just learn just to stop, possibly take some time to listen to a minstrel and let God speak to us before we respond. And what a difference that would make. And so we looked at that last event and last message, and understanding that we need to be mindful of asking for a minstrel. Well, tonight we're going to be following up on that. Right after he asked for the minstrel, then God's counsel came, and he was able to present God's counsel to these three nations, the kings and their warriors. So if you stand with me, we're going to be reading that tonight. Verse 16, all the way down to verse 24. The Bible says in verse 16, and he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water. There came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil." When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their country. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for allowing us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together and giving each one of us the opportunity to come. Each one that's here has taken advantage of that opportunity, and they've come tonight. And now I just pray, God, that you would just continue to meet with us and bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, what a great passage of scripture here, and what's taken place now that Elisha calmed down enough to actually listen to God. He is able to then, after he spent the time with God and focused on God's message, then he was able to present not his message to the three kings, but he was able to present God's message to the three kings. And in giving that counsel, God's counsel, in verse 16 and 17, God's counsel was dig ditches. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." Now, for most, that would seem pretty odd. We've come to you to get help from God. We didn't come to you to dig our graves. They're dying of thirst. There's no water. And you want us to go out there and sweat and dig ditches. And their minds are thinking, we go out there without any water to drink, and we dig the ditches, we're just going to die, and they will become graves. No doubt that would have been something that would have been on their mind. It's three kings and their armies. All of the armies of these three nations. And there was no water. But God says, through Elisha, dig ditches. In verse 17, not only did he tell them to dig the ditches, he said, "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind." Because you think, well, if we're digging the ditches, all right, we can understand they're going to hold the water, but we'll be able to see the storm coming. We'll be able to know that what we're doing is going to work, because while we're digging the ditches, we'll see the storms on their way, the winds pick up, the front coming through that's going to bring the water that would fill the ditches, that would take care of their needs. But he says you won't see that. Now, later on, you'll find the reason that they got the victory from Moab, because Moab didn't see any water come. They knew that it was desert and it was dry. And when they seen the reflection of what was water, they didn't see the water, so they thought the only thing that could be would be blood. And so God understood what he was doing. God always knows what he's doing. But he tells them, he says, "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye, your cattle, and your beasts." You'll not be able to understand it, but by faith, do what I say. That's what he's telling them. Something like what I would preach today, 21st century America. Because God does the same thing today as he's always done. He never changes. Once you understand how God works, you realize he will always work that way. You not be able to understand it. Give and it shall be given to you. I mean, I got to give to get? I've got to be willing to forgive in order to be forgiven. I mean, there's many different scenarios here we can look at where you say it doesn't make sense. I mean, I've got to tithe to be able to have more money. I've got to give away money in order to have my needs met. And the world says, that's crazy. And some without faith say, I can't afford it. And those with faith say, I can't afford not to do what God tells me to do. Because they understand by faith what God will do. And so we find this is exactly what's taking place right here in this next event in life of Elisha as he's addressing these kings. It's not his message. He would not have given them instructions. He would have just let them die out there if he had his way. But he called for a minstrel. And he heard from God. And now he's saying, this is not what I would tell you to do, but this is what God says to do. You'll not be able to understand it, but by faith, do what God says to do. You see, what God told them to do, it was what God expected of them. And they would have to do what God expected of them before he would do what they asked him to do. That which only God could do. They couldn't produce water. No one there could have produced water. There was no water. Everything was dried up. Outside of there being a great storm coming, there was no way that they could receive water unless God brought it. The Bible doesn't tell us how he brought it. Now, many speculate by digging the ditches, then they possibly brought the water up from underneath the ground. We don't know exactly how he did it, but we don't need to know how he did it. We just need to know he did it. Amen. And what he did then, he can do again today. And he will continue to do as long as there's a need. So it was what God expected of them. Dig ditches. Can I tell you we're to do what we can do and then look to God to do what only God can do? Anyone can dig a ditch. The soldiers might have said, I am a trained soldier. I've got my armor on and I've got my sword and I've got my shield. I'm not a farmer. I didn't come out here to dig ditches. I come out here to fight the Moabites. Yeah, you come out here to do that. How's that working out for you? You're going to die. You're not even going to make it to Moab because you're going to die because you've run out of water. You're trying to do what you think you ought to be doing on your plan. And now that you've asked for God's help, God says, if you're looking for me to help you, then there's an expectation that I have of you. And until you do what I expect you to do, I will not do what only I can do. That's exactly what's taking place there. All could dig. The question would be, would they? When they weren't able to see the storm that would bring water. When they had to get in there in the heat of the day and the dry dust and start digging. And by faith, just digging, thinking, I don't know why we're doing this, but we're doing it because this is what God says to do. I don't understand how this is going to work. I don't understand how doing this is going to bring to us what we have need of. But this is the counsel of God. And if I have faith in God and his ability, then I just need to focus on doing what God expects me to do. And what God expects you to do, listen to me, you can do it.
God will never expect or require of you something that you could not do. But he does expect and require of us to do what he tells us to do, somewhat like in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I want everything added to me. I want all my needs met. I want all my prayers answered. I want everything that I want. I want everything added to me. God says, if you want that, this is what I expect of you. Don't lose sight of God's expectations of what you have to do in order to get what you need or what you're looking for. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, or the ways of God, and his righteousness. No doubt there's everyone in here tonight has something that you're wanting God to do in your life, to work in your life. No, only you know what that might be. There's some in here that have greater needs and are praying for greater things to happen than possibly others. But all of us have different things and things that we are looking to God to be able to meet a need, or to maybe meet a desire, maybe something to bring into our lives. But in order for God to do what only God can do, and you're looking for him to do it, you have to, by faith, do what God expects you to do. So many want God to heal them, but they're not willing to do what they can do. What can they do? Seek ye first. They're not willing to look to God and pray and then start realizing, God, what is it that you would have me to do? And that which God would have you to do, if you're healthy enough to be in church, you need to be in church. If you are able to read, you need to be reading the Word of God, learning it, studying it. If you can't read it, listen to it. Get some CDs, get some tapes, get something. Have somebody read the Bible to you. Just get that Bible knowledge, because you need to understand who God is and what God expects out of you, and that comes by way of God's Word. But seek ye first. We have people coming and they want handouts. And this time of the year, I mean, there's calls all day long, and there's letters of, and they'll tell you their kids' sizes and their needs and everything else. And I understand that. And they're just putting a mass mailing to every church, and hopefully there'll be one or two that'll respond. But I've instructed all the staff and the secretaries to let them know, God wants to help you, but you have to do what God tells you to do. We can't go opposite of God and bless somebody that God will not bless. We're here to represent God to the world. As Christians, we're here to represent God to the world. God does not want you to bless somebody that he will not bless. He wants you to help them to know that they have to do what God wants them to do. And if they do what God wants them to do, they can expect God to do his part. Yes, that is not being ugly, and that's not being mean. That's just understanding the Word of God. If they look to you, you cannot sustain them indefinitely. Your money will run out. But if they are looking to God, listen to me, God can sustain them indefinitely. So if they do not look to God, then they are not, God will not bless them. God blesses those that are looking to him. God is looking to them to seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is his ways and his righteousness. And then God will do his part. That's powerful stuff right there. It really is. So by faith, Elisha goes back and he says, all right, I've heard from God. I have what you need now. Fill all this valley full of ditches. Well, the farmers are back home. The grunt workers are back home. It's just us soldiers out here. Yeah? Take whatever equipment you have. If you have to dig ditches with your sword, get out there and do what you can do. Dig ditches. That's not, they were soldiers. They were on their way to battle. They didn't bring the bulldozers. They didn't bring the backhoes. And God knew exactly what he was telling them to do. God knows exactly what he expects out of you. The question is, the question that you need to answer, will I be willing to do it? I want everything added to me, but am I willing to do what God says he expects you to do in order for him to do his part? Will you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? That's exactly what we're seeing here. Verse 18 and 19. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. The water would be a light thing to God. What you think is impossible with God is possible. And it's really, God says, it's not going to take much for me to provide water for you. It's a light thing. But as you do your part and I do this for you, it will be for even a greater cause. God does not bless us just for us to have a happier life. If he would, we'd all be in heaven right now, because we're going to have a lot happier life in heaven. No more pain, no more stress, if we've been preaching on Sunday nights, no more problems. No more pain and suffering. If that's all God was looking to do is to make our lives easy and bless us and make us comfortable and make us happy, listen, all of us would be in heaven. No, God's blessings are bestowed upon us for a greater cause. What's a greater cause? The water be a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. The water is a means to prepare you, to equip you, to destroy the Moabites. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree. You're going to utterly destroy the land of Moab. And shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water and mar every good place of land with stones. God's blessings of water was not just to meet their need, but also to equip them to defeat Moab. Because God's will was for Moab to be defeated, an ungodly heathen nation. And God wanted them destroyed. God's blessings upon us are to equip us to accomplish his work, to accomplish his will for our lives. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Understanding this, when you're blessed by God, then you're more accountable to God. Because those blessings have equipped you to do even greater things. And God blesses you to enable you to do even greater things. Matthew chapter 25. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, we find here that the Lord has given this parable to the disciples to understand what God has done. God has equipped them and given them certain blessings according to what he expected from them, according to their several ability. Talents to accomplish his will of producing fruit for him. He knew their abilities because he's the one that gives us our God-given abilities and those things that we're allowed to accomplish on our own with God's blessings in this life. But God knows what kind of education you have. God knows what kind of certain physical attributes you might have. God knows what he has given, spiritual talents, as well as all the other abilities that each one of us have. God knows that. And as he understands that, according to your several abilities, he says, I'm going to bless you with five because I know that you could take those five, and if you're faithful with those five, you can double those five. And whatever it was that God handed out, even the one that might not have had as much several abilities, didn't have as much natural, didn't have as many spiritual gifts, but at least he had enough to be able to handle one. And God's expectations for the one that had one was to at least increase one. Do something with it. Talents to accomplish God's will, producing fruit. Our service today, what is it? God knew that he wanted Israel and to go ahead and take these three armies, these three nations that have already made a league with each other, and he says, all right, I'm going to bless you, but the water is a light thing. What I'm going to use you, these three nations for, is to come together as you've already come together. I'm going to use you to destroy the land of the Moabites, to get rid of them off the face of the earth. I don't want that evil example. I don't want their testimony. I don't want their ungodly lifestyle to affect my children. I want them completely annihilated. Basically, that's what he was doing. But it was God's will. God's will for us today is to represent Jesus Christ. That's going to become harder and harder to do. It really will be. But it's his will for your life. And if it's his will for your life, he has equipped you to be able to have a testimony that exalts Christ. But will you? Will you dig the ditch? Will you at least realize that because I'm saved, I am to represent Christ? I am to allow him to live his life through me. That means that I have to die to self and be alive unto Christ. To have a true Christian testimony. That's God's expectations. And if you want the blessings that God has to bestow upon believers, then you have to be willing to do your part. If you're not willing to do your part, don't expect the peace and the joy and the contentment and whatever other blessings you might look to that God wants to bless believers with. Will you dig the ditch? You can. If you're saved, can I tell you, you can be a Christian. You can have others look to you and say, that person is a follower of Jesus Christ. Because of their appearance, because of what comes out of their mouth, their conversations, because of their associations, that person is living just like Jesus would live if he was here in this day and age. That's true biblical Christianity. It's what God expects. Will we dig that ditch? If you're not willing to dig that ditch, don't be looking for the water to fill it. Not only are we to represent Christ, we are to support his church and accomplish his commission of making disciples. God's established a church, which is for the body of Christ, believers to come. It's a place of refuge. It's a family of God. Amen. He's established his church, and he wants everyone who claims the name of Christ to be a part of an independent, fundamental, if you will, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, a biblical church. If you're not willing to do that, If you're not willing to dig that ditch, don't expect for the blessings of God upon your life. God wants every church member to be a part of the Great Commission here in our own city, and also supporting missionaries around the world, partnering with missionaries so that we can have a worldwide missions endeavor. There's no doubt if you study the scriptures, if you study the teachings of Christ and what he had left the church here to do, then that is his will for our lives. If you're not willing to be a part of the New Testament church, if you're not willing to be a part of evangelism, a part of worldwide missions, you're not willing to dig that ditch. Don't expect God's blessings on your life. Don't be looking for the water if you're not willing to dig the ditch. Amen. As parents, God's will for our parents is to raise disciples for Christ. Bring them up in the nurture. Raise disciples. Your children are to be raised to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, they will have to make their own choice when they come to that age of accountability, but you raise them for that purpose in mind, not for the purpose of whatever the world needs. Not for the purpose of making finances and taking care of you when you get old. No, children are heritage of the Lord, and for parents, God's will for every parent is to make disciples of Christ out of their children. Are you willing to dig that ditch? If you're not digging that ditch, don't expect children who honor you. Don't expect children who are going to turn out right. Don't expect children to be able to have a Christian home, develop a Christian home, and marry a Christian individual and raise Christian grandchildren. Don't expect that. If you're not willing to dig that ditch, don't expect for God to put the water in the ditch, because the ditch isn't there. Amen. That's reality. It's exactly what we learned, biblical principle from Elisha and what he's doing with these three kings. His blessings, what he will give us the abilities to get done what he wants us to do. He'll give us the talents to be able to do it. You do your part. God, I want to be that parent. I want to be that Christian. I want to be that church member. God says, blessings, I'll enable you to do it. 1 Peter chapter 4, that's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 4, everybody follow me tonight? Amen. Get those steel toes off, it's coming, amen. I'm going to hit one of those toes before it's over with tonight, amen. So I trust several toes have already been hit, right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak the words of God. Make sure that you're doing what Elisha did. You know, call for a musician to calm down to make sure he's speaking what God wants him to speak. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God says, if I've called you to do this, I will give you the abilities to get it done. And so what God has called us to do as far as the service, if we do by faith what God tells us to do, he will give us what we have need of to defeat Moab. He'll put the water in the ditch, and the water will strengthen you and equip you to be able to do the will of God. Yeah, amen. His blessings. His blessings can give you whatever finances God wants you to have. Truth of it is, myself included, If I had more money than I knew what to do with, I might spend too much time trying to figure out what to do with it and less time serving God. Amen. Sometimes it's finances is what keeps us on our knees asking God to provide. And if it wasn't for us, for asking for that, we wouldn't find ourselves on our knees like we need to be on our knees. I believe God controls the finances. What faith do you have of using whatever amount of money that God might bless you with? What faith do you have that you'll use it to glorify Him, to do with it what God tells you to do with it? 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now here, powerful few verses there in the beginning of chapter 6. Tells us the root of all evil is the love of money, but that's not where I'm going with this. I want you to see what he says in verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul's preaching to Timothy and he says this, charge them that are rich in this world. God's blessed financially. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You have that because God has given it to you. God has allowed you. If you're a born-again believer, whatever you have financially is due to God's blessings on your life. And they that are rich, you have it. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. When God says distribute, I'm ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. I'm willing to just communicate, let God tell me what to do, and God, whatever you tell me to do with the finances that you've blessed me with, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. As long as I know that God is telling me to do it, I'm going to do it. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Wow. If we never understand or learn that biblical principle of finances, don't expect. If you're not willing to dig that ditch, don't expect God to fill it. Don't expect the water to come. Well, go back with me. I got a coat. Oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. Always goes too fast. Verse 20 down to verse 24. God fulfills His promises, and His will is accomplished. All because they dug the ditches. When they dug the ditches, they did their part. And the Bible says in verse 20, and it came to pass in the morning. They dug it the day before. And in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, amen, they're worshiping God. They're doing exactly what they were supposed to do in the morning. When the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. So in the way of Edom, they looked out, and all the ditches that was as far on the going to Edom, they looked out and they said, do you see that? Those ditches are being filled. And it came closer to them. Every ditch that they had dug on all the way to the direction of Edom, from Edom to where they were at, the ditches were being filled one, after another, after another, after another, until the ditches, all of them, without ever seeing any wind, without ever seeing any rain, by the hand of God, all the ditches were full of water. Yeah. And when the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put armor and upward and stood, and all their men, now they're going to come out. And they're going to leave the fortress of their city. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side, and they knew there was no water there. There hadn't been any rain. There hadn't been any storms. And the only explanation in their own minds, they've turned on themselves. And what we see is the blood of the soldiers. What an easy victory we're going to have. Let's go get the spoil. Yeah. None of this would have been possible if they had not, by faith, started digging. So tonight, I don't know what your need is. I know what you need to do. By faith, start digging. Just by faith, get your shovels out. Even if it's just a toy shovel. If that's all you have to dig with, start digging. Start digging. Just see what God will do when we seek Him first and His righteousness, what He would have us to do. He can give us more than what we're even praying for. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What another blessing in the events of Elisha. What a powerful principle that is echoed throughout the Scriptures. Old Testament and New Testament. Don't expect the water to come if you've not dug the ditches that God expects you to dig. Don't know what you're going to do? I can tell you. Start digging ditches. Start doing what you know God wants you to do and something you can do. You can. But will you? By faith. By faith. All right, now is an invitation time. God spoke to you tonight and you need to come for whatever reason. We invite you to come. Somebody to help you if you need help. If you just want to come and get along with God, maybe that's what you need to do. Find out just what ditches you need to dig. What is it that God's looking for you to start doing? Something He expects. Before He'll open the windows of heaven. Father, we bow before You. We love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for helping us as we study the Bible to learn these biblical principles that once we've established it, You'll find it. We'll find it throughout the Scriptures. Help us, Lord, to learn this powerful truth tonight. And whatever it is that You'd have us to do, make us aware of it. So as we leave here tonight, we'll know exactly what Your expectations are. And we will, by faith, start doing it. Bless now as we leave. Watch over us. Get us all home safely tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.